CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and it's a pleasure to welcome my colleague Peter Berkowitz of the Hoover Institution, writing most recently at Real Clear Politics about his alma mater, Swarthmore College, in suburban, rural Philadelphia, a wonderful, rich, liberal arts college that is nestled into a world of Philadelphia reporting and Philadelphia prosperity. However, Peter, a very good evening to you. You report in your conversation and your open letter to the president of your alma mater, Swarthmore College, you report on the 2015 report of the Committee on Freedom of Expression at the University of Chicago, and you recommend it to the administration at Swarthmore. What is in that report that you recommend? Good evening to you, Peter.
Good evening, John. It's a wonderful report. It came out amid, people need to remember that the assault on free speech on campuses is now last longstanding, many years, even decades. 2015, a committee of the University of Chicago published a short and eloquent explanation, a rousing defense of free speech as a cornerstone of liberal education. They explained that without a university campus that actively promotes the free and robust exchange of opinions, without a university campus that insists it's a part of university life to hear and confront opinions with which you disagree, even opinions that you find disagreeable, it's impossible to make progress in both acquiring knowledge about the world in which we live and in cultivating your own independence of mind. All of this is set out in just a few pages, and over the years, approximately 80 colleges and universities around the country, including, I should say, your alma mater, Princeton University, have adopted these principles and said the Chicago principles give expression to our sense of the central place of free expression in liberal education. And I recommend it to President Valerie Smith of Swarthmore College that she make Swarthmore the 82nd college or university to endorse the Chicago principles.
The predicate for your open letter in Politico is that, in Real Clear Politics, yes, is that the president of Swarthmore College has written compassionately and movingly about the Minnesota tragedy, the death of George Floyd, and the trial, yes, and events afterwards, striking a mournful note. At the same time, there is the suggestion that at Swarthmore College, like a number of other colleges I've read about, Peter, this is only things I've read, there is not the attention to both sides or three sides of the story, not about George Floyd, but about the social justice theme that's running through American colleges. Is this, is Swarthmore College aware of these tensions? Has it responded in some fashion to these tensions that there are many people who are being denied their ability to speak out because of intimidation or fear of how it will damage their futures?
Well, it's a great question. President Smith's letter, in my judgment, gives expression to the tensions. That is, she sent out her letter to students, alums, faculty, staff the day after the guilty verdict in the murder in the George Floyd trial of George Floyd's killing. And at the same time, she seems to both be summoning the Swarthmore community to engage in great social movement in the United States and telling us that Swarthmore needs to be the home of deep, frank, thoughtful conversation about the challenges that society faces. And the gist of my letter to her is that Swarthmore can't do both. Railing students to advance a particular conception of social justice involves indoctrination, whereas liberal education involves the transmission of knowledge, history, literature, philosophy, social sciences and sciences, and cultivating in students the ability to think for themselves. But how can students think for themselves if Swarthmore as an official matter, either in the classroom or as a result of the proclamations of university administrators. How can students think for themselves as Swarthmore adopts a party line, tells students what proper outcomes of great political debates are, and rallies students to engage in social action? Students, as students, should be thinking hard about the arguments. As citizens, of course, we encourage political engagement, and rightly so. But that's not, it seems to me, that's not the job of a university committed to liberal education.
This week, Swarthmore College is host to an evening with Eric Holder, voting rights, leadership, and social justice. That's all well and good. That's a former attorney general of the United States who's been outspoken in social media and everywhere these last years for the Democratic Party, and is a very prominent representative of the Obama administration. That in itself, Peter, is not striking. The question here is, are there equal luminaries of the Republican Party welcome on Swarthmore College? And does Swarthmore College in some fashion stand back from the partisan dispute that goes on in Congress to permit students room to explore? Does that happen?
My sense is that it happens these days very, very seldom at Swarthmore. And as a grateful graduate of Swarthmore College, as you know, John, I offered a humble suggestion to President Smith. Eric Holder, former Attorney General, will appear at Swarthmore College to speak about the important question of voting rights. Why not follow up that meeting with an invitation to William Barr, who served as Attorney General for President George H.W. Bush and President Donald Trump, to hear his view? If Swarthmore only invites Eric Holder, Swarthmore is effectively taking a stand. Moreover, Swarthmore is saying something about its commitment to freedom of speech, because freedom of speech for a university is not merely a formality. It's also about encouraging the lively exchange of opinion. What better way to encourage the lively exchange of opinion than to expose students to the views of both President Obama's Attorney General and President Bush and Trump's Attorney General?
The university campuses I'm familiar with have gone entirely with the Democratic team, entirely. A recent article in National Review Online made it very clear that Yale's Board of Trustees, representative of large universities in America, is so decidedly Silicon Valley blue, there's no hesitation for it to be out in the open. Swarthmore College is not alone in having just one part of the conversation on campus. Was that purposeful? Did they set out to do that? Was somebody in charge of this? Or is it just a consequence of a history over time, and it can reverse itself?
One side says, the people in power on the campuses say, well, it's not really our fault, because conservatives by nature, they like to go out into the world, they like to make money, they're more dogmatic. But I don't think that's the reality at all. I think that we're seeing now a kind of culmination of many decades of transformation in the universities, and a crucial moment of which, yes, actually dated back to the 1970s, when the students of the 1960s arrived in graduate schools with the view that scholarship was politics by other means. In other words, by the time they had arrived, they had already abandoned the traditional view that the purpose of scholarship is one, to push forward the frontiers of knowledge, to transmit knowledge to younger students, cultivate their ability to think for themselves, with the idea that the purpose of scholarship is to transform young minds and enlist them in a political cause. We've seen this, the transformation has been underway for 60 years, and now we have generations. Most faculty under the age of 60 have been educated to a significant extent in this spirit.
Peter Berkowitz of the Hoover Institution, writing at Real Clear Politics about Swarthmore College. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.